And good. Oh, here we go. And good morning, Central Oregon. Hope you are out there having a wonderful day. My goodness. What do you think of this? It's kind of hard this week, but that's all right. That's spring. You know, we had spring last week, but that's all right. That's what we do. We're in Central Oregon. So the only thing that I'm going to remind you about that is that, you know, it's chores time. Get those chores done. Get out there and get your chores done. This is a great time to schedule your service work for any of your mechanical stuff or any of that sort of thing. We're going to see some more rain. We're going to see some more stuff coming. But, you know, we're so blessed to live in such a beautiful place. And we're going to get, it looks like we're getting plenty of moisture, which is pretty darn cool. That's the good side of it. So today is Maryland Day. And I thought that there's a couple of things that are interesting here that are sort of covers. I'm going to talk about a couple of different things and maybe a little bit of the mission statement of where Ask Fred Johnson is going as far as how I'm sharing information with our listeners, because it just seems that there's so many different issues that are on the table right now that you can get all wound around the axle on every one of them, or we can sort of take a little larger approach, and hopefully there'll be individuals out there that will, you know, sort of take the peeve of their choice and go after it a little bit. But today is Maryland Day, and this is the landing of Lord Baltimore, the first colonist, on St. Clement's Island on March 25th, 1634. That goes back a few years ago. That was after a charter was granted by King Charles I on June 20th of 1632. And it was a place where Roman Catholics, as well as everyone else, could participate in their religion. It was one of the first things. So between property ownership and their religion, that was very, very important. And then this next week, you know, one that's sort of easy to go by on Wednesday on the 29th is National Vietnam War Veterans Day. You know, that's I had the opportunity a few years ago. My father was a World War II vet, and we went back on the honor flight and had the opportunity to go to the wall, the Vietnam Memorial. You know, it was really quite apparent that a lot of the Vietnam vets were not warmly received when they returned from war, and had to deal with the fact that happened. And then, of course, the most famous monument back there is the Korean monument that says freedom is not free. And I think that's something that we should probably take a little bit of time and come to the realization that freedom is not free, and there's an awful lot of things that are happening right now, and maybe a little bit more accountability might be in order. And hopefully we'll be able to talk about that here a little bit as today goes on. Remember, the number at the station here is 541-388-1110. So today in the bulletin, there were a couple of different things that I wanted to chat about, which were kind of interesting. It'd be really nice if maybe they would write an article on a local level instead of, you know, just picking up these things off the wire. But the one today was don't be surprised at closing. And actually, we covered that a couple of weeks ago, the difference between escrow and title and what the escrow officer's primary job is, to act as a disinterested third party in the transaction, not representing the buyer, not representing the seller. And then there were some things in here that were, pardon me, a little bit interesting, but, you know, it did bring up some very, very valid points. And I can assure you that with the number of things and the number of issues and the number of documents and the number of signatures and all of the different variables of all the disclosures and disclaimers and everything that's out there, there has really never been a time that a seasoned and experienced real estate broker can be your greatest advocate and help you navigate something that's really, really quite difficult. You know, this article sort of alludes to, well, read the fine print. Well, you know, by the time you read 75 pages of fine print that's written in legalese, that when you complete a paragraph, you have no idea what they're saying to you, that's really not going to get you too far. And the truth be told, if you want to borrow money, you're going to sign the loan documents. If you don't want to sign the loan documents or you want to amend the money, they won't loan you the money. That's pretty simple. On the other side, there are some inherent risks and some things that the one thing that I encounter more frequently than anything, particularly for folks that are, you know, a little tight on the money going in, that one of the things that's sort of easily overlooked, and that is the associated escrow fees and loan fees that go with it. They know that there's a sales price and they know that there's a down payment amount, but they don't realize that there's also an appraisal fee and a processing fee and an escrow fee and a number of other fees that are also associated with that expense. So at close of escrow, they're required to come in with not only the down payment amount, but also those additional fees. And in some cases, if there's an escrow account or a reserve account as a provision for paying for taxes and insurance, if you're closing somewhere in the middle of the year, there may be what they call reserves that you would need to write an additional check. It's still your money, but it gets to go into that account so that they've got enough money in the account when the taxes come due or when the insurance comes due to be able to make that payment. So I think that that's one of the most overlooked issues in your closing statement and in escrow. They're regulated by the insurance commissioner. It's really, really clean and tidy with disclosures and disclaimers, and you know exactly what's going on. But to have and to request them both to be at closing certainly isn't out of line at all. I make it a practice to be at all my closings, but if you can have, and if you're not particularly familiar with the lending process, if you can have your lender and your real estate broker at the desk when you're signing your paperwork, so that in the event there's any discrepancies or there's any things that are unclear or anything that needs to be amended, instead of bearing all of the stress and the burden as a single entity, you know, share that with the people that are knowledgeable and experienced and are doing this on a daily basis. And the other topic that came up that I think is kind of interesting, this is where I'm not a lawyer, don't profess to be a lawyer. And whenever there's things that are legal in nature, it's certainly a good idea to consult your legal counsel, whomever that may be. And one of the things that it talks about here is vesting, how you hold title, what name the property is put in. All too often, family members sometimes think that, oh yeah, well, I'll go ahead and put my son's name on the title, and I'll put, you know, my daughter-in-law's name on the title, and, you know, maybe the next door neighbor's name, you know, without understanding that placing their name on the title, and there's a number of different ways to do it. I won't profess to practice law, and I won't profess to tell the differences, but there's a difference between tenants in common or joint tenancy or tenancy with the right of survivorship. There's a lot of different ways. And then, of course, you can create partnerships and trusts and do a number of different ways that it can be held. But this is legal world, and this is where it is. But the for the casual investor that is thinking that maybe they might pre-plan some estate planning, this is a great time to get your estate planning attorney involved and be there. Because if something like, you know, your son-in-law is on title and you knew that that was all there, and he has the unfortunate situation of getting into an uninsured accident where someone is damaged and he gets sued for a fair amount of money, then that asset could come back as one of the things that could potentially be compromised to some degree because of that exposure. And you kind of need to know that going in. So don't just sort of start throwing names on there because you think it's fun. And if you are interested in doing some estate planning, or you do have a shared equity situation to where you're sharing a different property, consult your attorney to help you put that together so that it's done right. Because it's like so many things, it's not a problem until it is. And then once it's a problem, sometimes it's really hard to unravel. So I thought that was a pretty reasonable article. But again, I'd like to see something written that was a little bit more local in nature. But I guess we get what we get, and we're going to be happy with it, by golly. So, boy, these are interesting times. We've got a number of different issues, and I think, you know, we're going to take a break, and then I'll come back and I'll talk about that here in a minute. But I think that it's so hard because there's so many issues and so many things going in different directions. It's kind of hard to get our head around it. And then I think maybe what I might do is introduce sort of what, you know, where I'm coming from, in that, because I feel passionate about a number of these different issues, but there's just not enough time in the day to address all of them. You know, right now we have some interesting things that are happening in the landlord-tenant action. We've got the new mule deer overlay. We've got the fire map that's going on. There's a number of different things that really have some implications to private property owners, and the process seems to be breaking down. So I want to kind of bring that about. But let me throw a little bit of good news at it here. Well, at least it's a good headline. And the good headline says, home prices end a decade of surges as sales rebound. So in other words, they say, prices fell in February for the first time in 131 months. Well, that's a pretty nice lead-in. But then you kind of have to get into it and realize that, well, there's maybe a little bit more going on than just that. But it talked about existing homes. Now, mind you, we've talked about this before, that there's not an awful lot of new inventory coming in. So these are existing homes, used homes, if you will, increased by 14.5% month over month. In other words, from January to February, that increased by 14.5%, which is the largest monthly gain since July of 2020. Okay. And then seasonally adjusted annual rate is 4.5 million. Basically, what that means is that they took that number and multiplied it by 12, and that gave you, I don't know, this whimsical number of 4.58 million. But the data shows that single-family homes, condos, and co-ops were down 23% compared to a year earlier. And kind of what's happening is, as the mortgage rates, which this week we saw a little bit of softening in those mortgage rates, those people that are right on the edge there are going, yeah, I mean, I want to buy something. I want to do it. Well, I think we've discussed it in the past weeks where we've got a backlog of somewhere in the neighborhood of 7.5 to 8 million household starts that are trying to find a way into home ownership of one nature or another around the country. But the building rate is far, far shy of that. I mean, they could open the floodgates and start building houses as fast as they want us to, and probably take them a few years just to catch up with the backlog, much less the new creation of new home start or new households that are trying to start moving forward. So what we're seeing is, the thing that's good is that seeing some first-time home buyers. First-time home buyers are running right around 27-30% of the overall market. Inventory is still down. And I thought that this was interesting, because it sort of, I think, breaks it down a little bit easier, that in the Northeast, sales increased by 4% compared to January, but it was still down 25.7% compared to last year. In the Midwest, they increased by 13.5% compared to January, but it was still 18.7% down from last year. And out here in the West, existing home sales rose 19.4% compared to January, but it's still down 28.3%. So when we read these stats, and you know, it leads you to believe that, you know, we're coming out of the fog and everything's going to be great, and home prices are going to settle down and interest rates are going to settle down and all of that. The one component that's really shy and isn't happening is there is not a lot of new inventory, and most specifically, truly housing that's affordable coming into the market. With that coming into the market, that allows the ability to upgrade, that allows the market to be robust, and it also allows some foundation to the overall market. So as long as we're just sort of comparing month by month fluctuations and then multiplying it by 12 and trying to come out with these huge numbers that paint a rosy picture, the reality, until which time is land use issues open up a little bit and there's some truly workforce housing that's affordable coming into the market where people can be able to buy that, we're not going to really see much relief in the overall inventory and an awful lot of fluctuation in the prices. And when the fluctuation of the prices happen, as we discussed last week, whether they're cash buyers in this country or they're cash buyers from abroad, they will be the people that will be able to take advantage of the softening if there is not, I'm not going to, I don't know if I should go so far as to say a market collapse, but if there is a dramatic devaluation in properties, obviously the people that already have the money, they don't really care what the percentage rates are because they can just take advantage of the discount. So it's kind of interesting. When we come back, I think I'm going to introduce a little bit about myself and the program, sort of our mission statement here and the things that are important to us, so that maybe that'll shed some light onto how we approach some of these other issues that seem to be making the news. And then hopefully maybe someone might rally to the call and feel a calling to get involved in some of these issues. Again, if you'd like to call in, the number here at the station is 541-388-1110. You're asking You're listening to Ask Fred Johnson here on FM News 100, 1110 KVND.